The Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. A young man lay struggling for life after crashing his motorcycle on the highway. The onlookers believed him to be dead, and actually for a while, he was. Sharing the story, Kevin says that he has a choice, had a choice. There wasn't this light that most people talk about, he said, but there was this extraordinary sense of peace. There was this glimpse of the things to come. And he realized that he could either continue down the path toward blissful existence or choose to open his eyes and return, to return to this life that we all know. He chose to come back, even though knowing there would be consequences, that there would be pain, that his life would be entirely and totally different. "I had to return," he said. "I needed to come back to do something about this world in which we live. I needed to live in this tension with a foot in two worlds, one foot here with my sins and regrets and desires, and one foot in a place where I know I will someday return." He acknowledges that he's not fully present here anymore. But for that paradise to eventually mean something, he needs to live in this place of shadows and reflection, this place of the in-between. That's where you and I are. This place after creation and before eternity. This place where there is indeed pain and tears and mourning, but also the place where joy abounds and new life is born, and we serve and give to and live with each other. And it is in this in-between place where Jesus chose to live as well. For he had a choice over and over again, a choice to put himself first, to not follow his path, a choice to desert us, to head back home to God and to leave us to fend for ourselves. But he didn't choose the way of peaceful bliss either. He chose life, a life that made him cry and yell and throw things in frustration, but also a life that gave him love from disciples and hugs from children and adoration from his friends. He chose to live in the in-between, to show us how life can be now and how life will one day be in the tomorrow. And then, weeping at the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus, Jesus entered into these places of shadows and reflection. He entered into all those places that we try to run from, the places that are empty and lonely and full of death. He entered into our pain and into those places where we realize again and again that we have to have a foot in both worlds. One longing to experience that endless peace, and one that demands that we live fully and completely in the here and the now. And it is precisely by experiencing our pain and our grief that Jesus tells us these things do not have the final word. By his life and then his death and resurrection, Jesus shows us that death does not have the final word. For there will be a day when all of our disappointments and depression, all of our anger and regret, all of our fear and persecution will fade away. And God's world will reign as fully here as in the realm of the heavens. Here, though, is where imagination needs to come in. Here's where we get to reenact those days from when we were children and our playroom became a magical castle or a dirt field became the diamond of the World Series. Where our dreams became what guided us and the vision in our hearts were the only boundaries. Because here is where God gives us power. Power to imagine this world and the world to come. Power to help create what God so desperately wants for us. Power to experience peaceful bliss here and now, and power to imagine what it might be like when all the world is under the love and compassion of God. Where death will be no more, where mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and where all things will be made new. And living in this in-between place, Jesus calls each of us to look at the face of each other and to see the pain that surrounds us and to roll away each other's stones. Jesus calls us to participate in this kingdom creation here on earth, to imagine what it will be like eternally and then to help make that happen here. To imagine the time when God will wipe away all tears. And then to be a soul to listen to the cries of your friend today. To imagine the feast created by God, one with rich food and well-aged wine. And then to be the cook who creates a meal for someone who doesn't have the resources to do it for themselves. To imagine the world where God destroys the shroud that hangs over the mountains, and then to be a builder for those who need a place of warmth and safety so that their children might be raised in from the cold. To imagine the time when God will triumph over death, and then to be an advocate for those who live daily in fear and in pain and who desperately need someone to untie their grave clothes. We live in this in-between, with one foot in this world and one foot in the next. We live as ones whose pain has been touched by Christ and as ones who have been called to be Christ for each other. There will be a time, one day, when we will live perfectly free and perfectly blissful, peaceful lives. And until then, seek to serve as Christ did. Seek to change this world. Seek to make the in-between a foretaste of the feast to come, when the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will make all things new.